This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When we need what's going down on South Beach, we call our next guest, Mark Hochman, afternoon drive host on WQAM in Miami. Mark, Jody Mack here. How you doing, bud?
What's up, Jody Mack? Beautiful in South Florida today.
It's raining here in New York, so get lost. No, only kidding. Were you in the house the other night when D. Wade made his, it was triumphant, they won the game. He didn't do a hell of a lot, but he made his return to the Heat?
I was not there. My wife and I, my wife is the biggest Olympics fan that you will ever meet, and she had planned a little get-together for the opening ceremonies. And so I ended up in a different room watching the Heat game because I would never miss my beloved Dwayne Wade's return. But, yeah, it was weird. It was the Olympics opening night, and we thought we had our Friday night planned up until that crazy trade.
Yeah, who scheduled this stuff? How can you have opening night at the Olympics when the NBA trade deadline is the day before? But I'm sure you talked to people, you judged it via watching it on TV and the like, knew he was going to get a standing ovation. His leaving, I don't think they held against him as much as they did the organization. How much was it a love fest with his return?
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. From the moment that it happened, because it was about 45 minutes before I went on the air on Thursday and the news came out. From the moment that it happened, as I think I had tweeted out when he checked into the game on Friday night, can an entire city get the chills at once? Like this is something that we all expected we'd see at some point. And the way that it transpired, I think, was pure genius. I would disagree with you when you talk about LeBron shipping him out. I actually think LeBron did D. Wade a solid by sending him back to Miami at
D. Wade's
request.
So you think LeBron was buying this too?
Yeah, I think he did it as a favor to D. Wade. I think he told D. Wade. I think
you guys got to stop day drinking. This was not LeBron. This was the general manager and the owner for the first time since LeBron re-signed and showed up there that they said, LeBron, you're the best player on the planet. And we know we've consulted you, if not done exactly what you told us to before, but we still are the owner and the general manager, and we're going to do this, I think, out of deference to LeBron and D. Wade. There was only one place they were going to trade him, and that was Miami, and they made that happen. But I don't believe that LeBron was consulted or said anything. He said himself he didn't know what it was about when D. Wade came in to talk to him in the gym that day. He said, did you hear what happened? You tell me LeBron lied to his friend's face that he was behind this and said, yeah, no, I got no idea.
Yeah, I believe that that LeBron knew they were going to gut the roster. I think they were gutting the roster at his request. I know what you're saying. I think Dan Gilbert and Kobe Altman are taking back some of the control that they had ceded to him in order to get him to return. But I do think that LeBron knew they were going to gut the roster, that it hadn't been fun for his friend D. Wade since he got there. And I think he said to him, I'll give you an opportunity to go back to Miami if you want to. There's no way they would have traded Dwayne Wade without his knowledge, and unless D. Wade had specifically told LeBron or, you know, someone, if you want to believe that it was not LeBron pulling the strings, that, yes, I want to go back to Miami because Cleveland got nothing in return.
Right.
They got a protected 2024 draft pick, which will probably never actually they believe the transaction will never actually happen because it's so protected.
Right.
So I think that LeBron was doing D. Wade a solid, that he was saying, hey, man, this hasn't worked out the way that we planned, and I'll give you a chance to go back. And the reason that I think it was so genius was now you didn't have to have this summit between Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade to mend fences. You didn't have to have the tarmac meeting like LeBron had with Dan Gilbert. Like, this just happened in the blink of an eye. No one saw this coming. No one thought it was going to happen. And so you don't have to have all the machinations during free agency of, you know, do Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade really get along? And it was just like one of those things. Hey, you want to go back there? Yeah. The Heat, would you take them for essentially nothing? Sure, we would. And I think everyone, the NBA NBA world included, benefits from D-Wade being back in Miami.
No, I agree with everything you said except who pulled the strings. I think it was the general manager and the owner and not as much LeBron as you do, but everything else, I agree with you. It works out perfectly for D-Wade. It works out perfectly for Miami. It works out perfectly for Pat Riley. And, yes, he gets to go back down there. The only thing I will ask you is, do they think he can actually give them something? Because it didn't work out in Cleveland. Part of that is D-Wade just isn't the player he used to be. And he flashed just a little bit last year in Chicago, but not much. And that's why the Bulls were ready to eat his entire salary and move on and go in another direction. They saw him all season and realized, yeah, we got the old D-Wade, and he's just not the player he once was. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not that anymore. How are they going to use him? Do they think he can actually help this team make the playoffs and then be competitive when they get there?
Yeah, I think people are actually excited about what he brings to the court, and I'm with you. What he was doing in Cleveland wasn't working, and what he did in Chicago, obviously, like you say, they felt...
Oh, so just the magic of South Beach. Like Ponce de Leon, he's returning in the Fountain of Youth of South Beach. It's going to turn back his NBA game clock?
Well, here's the thing, though. The Miami Heat, and Goran Dragic has been named to the All-Star team, but essentially...
Oh, you don't want to start with me on that? That's a joke. How the hell is he an All-Star?
Well,
and Ben Simmons isn't?
You got to reward playoff-bound teams with some talent, and sometimes you have to reward an entire career, not just a particular season. I guess I'm not going to argue with you whether Goran Dragic is an All-Star or not, because I don't think I'll be on the winning end of that argument.
You got it. I'm talking to Mark Kochman. Good Joe down there from Miami, letting the host be a little obnoxious here on CBS Sports Radio. So has D-Wade got his head all screwed on straight? He wants to be back. He said all the right things. He smiled plenty the other night. Is he cool with the way all of this came down? I know he signed off on it, but when you're told you're traded, and if it came down the way I thought, general manager slash owner, that's one thing. If it came down, LeBron went to him and said, hey, I'll get you back Miami. You cool with that? That's another. Is he good with coming back to the Heat here and actually having some expectations?
Yeah, I think he's fine with it. I think he got humbled for a year and a half, right? He got humbled in Chicago, got humbled this half season in Cleveland, knows that this is where his heart is, where his real fans are. And I think, however the Heat end up using him, which I guess would be about 20, 25 minutes a game, coming off the bench, probably in at the end of games, because they need a veteran leader like that, and a guy that can actually, whether he's a decoy or taking the final shot, a guy that commands a little bit of attention out on the court at the end of a game. I think he's totally cool with it. And I think he's cool with it because of what transpired in Chicago and in Cleveland.
That's probably a pretty good read on it. All right, so D-Wade back in Miami, whatever he's going to bring to the table, there's a possibility, and I'm not going to say it's a probability, but a possibility that the Cavs could finish third in the East and the Heat could finish sixth in the East, and then they play in the first round of the playoffs. How's that going to play for D-Wade and LeBron James?
Yeah, I think it plays fine. I think these guys are so different than the way that you and I grew up watching the NBA and the team was everything. These guys, they are out there to better their careers and their futures and their marketability. And I think that they try to do what's best for each of them, especially that real friendly core group, you know, LeBron and Carmelo and D-Wade, Chris Paul. Like, I think the way that they operate is different than maybe what we're used to. I think LeBron would love to see D-Wade find success. I think D-Wade loves to see LeBron have success. And if it means they meet up in the first round of the playoffs, I think they both enjoy it as friends.
All right, last thing on the Heat, then I do want to get you with a quick Marlins question or two.
Ugh.
Pat Riley, the hero who's brought D-Wade back, still a bit of a villain who let D-Wade walk out the door. I've seen no specific quotes or handshakes or pictures or anything from those two together yet. How's the relationship with Papa Riles and the Miami fan base?
Yeah, seems to be fine. Everybody, you know, lives by the motto, in Pat we trust, And while he was up for some criticism when D-Wade left, there were plenty of people that said, look, that's a basketball decision. That's why he's the godfather. And while there were people like me who were upset at what happened, and I blamed it more on Riley than I did D-Wade, the preponderance of the blame I would give to Riley over Wade, we still, I really think to a man when it comes to the Miami Heat, live by that motto, in Riley we trust. It's a hashtag down here, and whatever the Heat end up doing, we always trust in Pat Riley. And I think him being at the helm when D-Wade does come back, I think it's a pretty good bookend on whatever Riley ends up doing, because I don't picture him doing this many more years.
In Riley we trust, I get. I understand. He delivered and brought championships to South Beach. Derek Jeter not there yet? No In Jeets We Trust t-shirts making their way around the beaches down there?
Yeah, not exactly. Not exactly. Marlins had their fan fest yesterday. Wasn't exactly standing room only. He's come in, and look, we just have a different perspective of him. I know in New York he's a hero, and it's hard for people to not trust in Derek Jeter's baseball knowledge. But Marlins fans have been sold a bill of goods time and time again and then had it ripped out from underneath them. And when Jeffrey Loria finally said that he was selling this Marlins team, everyone had visions of someone coming in, you know, a Steve Ballmer type, a Mark Cuban type that would say, yeah, let's win and let's do it right. And it's been the opposite. You know, we see it. This is going to be done on a shoestring budget, and it's going to require a lot of trust and belief in Derek Jeter and a long-term vision. And a lot of people, me included, are tired of having long-term vision when it comes to the Marlins, and tired of being told that, yeah, my biggest problem with Jeter was, if you come in and buy any business, you identify what the assets are, and then you identify what the liabilities are. And you don't have to make one sweeping judgment. Either the business is great or it's terrible. And if it's not great, then it must be terrible. Get rid of everything. And it's just not the way I would operate a business. I would identify what the assets are. To me, there were assets. Marcell Ozuna was an asset. Christian Yelich was an asset. Giancarlo Stanton was an asset. And they just, you know, said, they kept saying over and over, like this mantra, it's not working, we've got to blow it up. And that just wasn't my opinion. It wasn't a lot of Marlins fans' opinions.
That's a fair opinion. I share your opinion. They came in with a game plan, and they weren't going to be deterred by it. They were going to take it down to its bare bones and then try and build it back up again. So the last question I have for you is, if they pull off a Chicago Cub, Houston Astro type run, that, yeah, they're going to take their lumps and they're going to lose 100-plus for a couple of years running, but then things kick in and they build the organization from the bottom up and they draft well, and then at some point they decide to put some significant money into it, make a key acquisition or two like the Cubs and the Astros both did, and they build a team that wins 95 games and goes to the playoffs and the like, will they pack that house down there? Because that's my fear, is that they might have the best plan in place, and they may even do it right, and they still might not be able to get people to go out to that ballpark.
It's a legitimate concern. It really is, because it's been, you know, it's been proven time and time again with baseball. It's a tough sell because of the way that it's been handled from the inception down here. And so I don't know. I'm with you. If it takes four seasons to become a competitive ball club, and you have spent four seasons just, reminding fans again and again that we've got the short end of the stick when it comes to baseball, do they come back in droves just because there's a winner? Like, I don't know. I don't. Your guess is as good as mine when it comes to baseball down here. I know I went to the World Baseball Classic games. It was a party, but that's got some Olympic feel to it also, because you're, you know, wrapped in the flag of whatever country that you're rooting for. Yep. But I don't know. I really don't know. I do know this. Giancarlo Stanton at the batter's box was must-watch television or must-see if you were looking for something to do. And obviously you could point to the attendance and say it wasn't enough for a lot of people. And I get that. I don't know how you keep people's interest for the next 3-4 seasons, telling them it's going to get better, it's going to get better. And then when it does, if it does get better 4 seasons from now, I don't know what's left. I don't know what's left on the body, if it's just, you know, if it's just a cadaver. I don't know.
Mark Kochman, for the next several seasons, will be able to open his show with good seats available for tonight's Marlins game. Mark, great stuff. A pleasure as always. Thanks for having some fun with me here today.
Always a pleasure, Jody Mack.
Mark Kochman from WQAM, down in Miami, their afternoon drive host.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.